heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
He's going to dribble it before he hands it off to Wigginton. Wigginton right back to Thanasis, who takes flight with a big two-hand slam.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
As the final horn sounds, we are done with the regular season here in 2022. On to the playoffs.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
Another dominant performance from Giannis, and this Bucks team looks really good. Spoiler alert, this team might be good, right? But we touched on this a couple of times leading into the season, how important it was after that opener against the 76ers, which we knew would be a tough game. You looked at the rest of the schedule and you said, yeah, you can have some playoff-ish caliber teams, but there's a lot of winnable games. And really looking at the back end of this homestand, when you saw the Bucks still should be a better team than the Hawks, the Bucks, we think, are a better team than the New York Knicks, and two games against the Detroit Pistons. Those are games you really should win because of how tough the Eastern Conference is going to be this year. And to see the way that they have started this season, encouraging is putting it mildly, that this team, look, there's still some issues offensively, and a lot of that is not having your second-best half-court offensive player in Chris Middleton. Joe Ingles is going to change some of that as well. But for this team to peel off the wins that they are doing and how they are doing it without Chris Middleton, without Pat Connaughton, without Joe Ingles, and getting this production as productive as the bench has been to get that productivity, you could not have scripted a better start so far this season for the Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us on Bucks Talk as we welcome your interaction here. Another impressive performance from Giannis, and really, it was the impressive 24 minutes from Giannis. One of the things we were harping on the game broadcast throughout that first half was you got to start playing downhill more. You got to attack the basket more. There is no rim protection here. Nick Claxton is a long-rangey defender, and he can block some shots, but Nick Claxton is not going to offer up any resistance to Giannis. Kevin Durant's an underrated defender. Kevin Durant isn't going to slow down Giannis. Anybody the Nets throw out there, Dayron Sharpe, you saw the struggles that he ran into. There was no one. It was a similar story to what we were saying on Saturday against the Houston Rockets. There's no one to slow him down. You need to see Giannis continue to play downhill, start attacking the basket more, and just start going at the paint. Score your points in the paint. A lot of three-point attempts in the first quarter, the first half, and that shot wasn't falling. And you kept looking up at the scoreboard, seeing a 12-point edge for the Brooklyn Nets, seeing a lot of misses from the mid-range on jump shots, on threes, and you kept saying, all right, if you just go at the Nets' interior, you get the sense things are going to change here, and that's exactly what happened in the third quarter, a 35-point quarter for the Bucks, and a 34-point second half for Giannis, who was 13 of 15 in that second half. The Bucks really poured it on in the third quarter, and the other impressive thing, or the other thing worth pointing out, is the issue the Bucks ran into in the first half was losing the minutes that Kevin Durant was off the floor. They were a minus six in the roughly 6 minutes Kevin Durant sat in the second quarter. In the second half, that was not the case. That's how the Nets were able to hang tough and eventually pull ahead in the second quarter. In the second half, it was the exact opposite as the Bucks built up that lead and then didn't relent when Kevin Durant was off the floor. 855-616-1620, second consecutive game where Giannis scored 40 or more points. He has not done it three straight games in his career. And, oh, by the way, I mentioned this on the game broadcast as well. Giannis and Damian Lillard now the only two players in this young NBA season to have a pair of 40-point games, and they've both done it in back-to-back games. Damian Lillard and those Portland Trail Blazers are unbeaten, and they are in action tonight. We'll keep you up to date on that. I do also want to spend some time on what else we're seeing in the Eastern Conference. There's a lot of young, talented teams, mentioned everybody on the homestand seemingly that the Bucks have here is 3-1. The New York Knicks just won tonight. They're 3-1. That's who's here next. The Atlanta Hawks won tonight. They're 3-1. That's who's here for your first back-to-back on Saturday. And then on the flip side, there's the Philadelphia 76ers and the struggles that that team is continuing to endure. I want to get to that. Plenty of time to hear from you as well. This performance from Giannis and this bench. The one thing we haven't gotten to is the production you're getting from the second unit. It was a big problem for the Bucks last year. It's just three games, but it's been a much, much different story this year. A productive bench, thanks in large part tonight, from Bobby Portis. We'll get into the bench discussion and take a look at the Eastern Conference after this on Bucks Talk. All right, another impressive win to open up the season here for the Bucks, beating the Brooklyn Nets. And really, the impressive part was what they did in the final 24 minutes of this game. The offense looked out of sorts. They looked just like they lacked energy in the first half. And, you know, there was a couple of instances, too, where it almost looked like the Bucks were making an unnecessary pass. And we saw some turnovers early as a big issue for the team. But I pointed this out, that there was a couple of instances where the Bucks looked to have some numbers in a fast break, but they ultimately didn't convert because they made the extra pass and it allowed Brooklyn time to recover and get defenders in position. And you just started to see a lot of that going through the Bucks through these first 24 minutes. And the thing that worried you the most was looking at that stat sheet and seeing Kevin Durant's numbers. In the first half, Kevin Durant had 13 points in 18 minutes, 4 of 8 shooting. Not bad, but you know Kevin Durant is capable of going off. And when you saw kind of struggling through these first 24 minutes here, and Kevin Durant hasn't gone off quite yet. Once that lead got up to double figures and you took it into halftime down 12, that was your primary concern was, well, Kevin Durant hasn't had a great half. Kyrie Irving hasn't had a great half yet. How do you combat it when one or both of those players start to go off offensively in the second half? But it just didn't become an issue. And I do really think it's early in the season. And we're not going to make any bold proclamations here from three games or four in this instance of the Brooklyn Nets. But when you look at this Nets team, I do have some serious concerns about what the ceiling is on this Nets team. They ask Kevin Durant to do a lot. And one of the things that we heard a lot in the offseason coming into this season was the workload that was put on Kevin Durant. The minutes that he played last year, you had to question, was his body starting to break down? Everything that he was having to do. And think about his year. James Harden is traded at the trade deadline. Kyrie Irving was a part-time player, and then eventually that was lifted in the second half, really out of necessity because of everything you are asking Kevin Durant to do for your offense and thus for your team. And you approach this season saying, well, Steve Nash learned from that. Swept in the first round. You've regrouped. Joe Harris is going to be back. You still have Seth Curry. Patty Mills, you expect to have a bounce back season from. Got Kyrie Irving for the full season. Steve Nash has learned from this, and he's going to take it slow and bring these guys along, monitor their minutes. We hear that a lot here in Milwaukee. You heard Bud say going into the season, got to be cognizant of Giannis's minutes, and we got to monitor that. He played in Eurobasket. We don't want to put too much on him early. You go back to opening night, and you look at the minutes that Giannis played in that game, and it was a question directed at Bud. Giannis played 36 minutes, right? Bud said at the time, yeah, it was probably a little too much. You know, we don't really want him to be at around that figure this early. Giannis played 28 minutes, basically, against the Houston Rockets on Saturday. He did play 38 minutes tonight. But Kevin Durant was out there 39 minutes. It would have been the full 40 minutes. A full 40 minutes. If this game wasn't out of reach. Played 39 minutes on Monday. He's averaging about 37 minutes so far to open up this season. In watching this team, I know it's one game, but watching this team on the floor tonight, you got the impression, man, they are asking Kevin Durant to do a whole lot out there. The entire offense went through Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was the guy that was helping on Giannis when the Nets would flash a lot of double teams. Ben Simmons would double him. You'd build the wall. Kevin Durant was having physical defense from Wesley Matthews. And the other thing, to open up the game, one of the byproducts of the Bucks going with a smaller starting lineup with Javon Carter and Grayson Allen out there with Drew Holiday, who's Kevin Durant going to defend? You're not going to put him on Giannis. You're not going to put him on Drew Holiday. Kevin Durant and Grayson Allen. And look, Grayson Allen wasn't hitting shots. Grayson Allen, offensively, in terms of seeing the shots go in, has not had a great start to this season, but he's not hiding from those shots. He's still taking those shots. He's still putting the ball on the floor and attacking the basket. But by product of playing a smaller lineup, Kevin Durant also had to chase around Grayson Allen and go through screens, be chasing him on the perimeter. It was a heavy workload, and I think you started to see the effects of that in the second half, and that is something to keep an eye on. Kevin Durant is going to continue to get these heavy minutes, and if the Nets are going to basically turn to Kevin Durant for everything again, that gives you even less confidence in this Brooklyn Nets team. But it's not Nets talk, it is Bucks talk, and the story of this game was Giannis with a 43-point performance tonight, 44 points on Saturday. He and Damian Lillard, the only two players so far this season with multiple 40-point games. I mentioned rebounding on the network postgame show because that kind of went under the radar. It wasn't until after the game ended and you look at the stat sheet and thought, hey, the Bucks actually dominated on the glass here in the second half. 30-10 rebounding in the second half. And look, you don't always want to look at the raw rebounding numbers for a number of reasons. First and foremost, in this case specifically, the Nets shot 39% from the field. Bucks shot 44%. Nets missed 52 shots in this game, and the Bucks missed 49. So the Nets had more opportunities at a rebound. That's why you can't always look at raw numbers. You want to look at rebounding percentages. The Bucks had 54 rebounds in this game. The Brooklyn Nets finished the game with 37 rebounds. So here's how you get your rebounding percentage. 54 and 37. There were 91 total rebounds available in this game. The Bucks had 54 of those. The Bucks had a 59% rebounding rate, basically 60. Anytime you're in the mid-50s, that's really good. You always want to be in the 80s percentage, 80s, for your defensive rebounding rate. And the Bucks in this game, 40 defensive rebounds. There were 47 available defensive rebounds for the Bucks, and 85% defensive rebounding rate. So that's what we mean when we say the rebounding percentages, and all of that came in the second half. Nets were winning on the glass in the first half. Second quarter was the issue for the Bucks. That's where the Nets turned everything around, outscoring the Bucks 35-18. Kevin Durant started to hit shots. Kyrie Irving started to hit shots. But that's also where you started to see more of an impact from Nick Claxton on the glass. And believe it or not, Kyrie Irving was the leading rebounder for the Nets tonight with 9 of them. A lot of that was the work by Royce O'Neal and Nick Claxton. Similar to the conversation we have about Brooke Lopez, boxing out and getting available rebounds for their teammates. But Giannis dominates in the second half, and the Bucks just absolutely destroy the Nets on the glass in the second half as well. Those were probably the two biggest takeaways. But the other thing that needs to be addressed is what the second unit has continued to do so far this season for the Bucks. And tonight, the story of that second unit, as it's, you would imagine, going to be quite a few times, was Bobby Portis. We'll get into Bobby Portis's performance and what we've seen from this bench. 3 games in after this. More Bucks talk comes your way next. 10-99 final here inside of Fiserv Forum. The Bucks remain unbeaten on the season. And another 40-point game from Giannis. The other thing to point out here is the second unit for the Bucks. 20 points for Bobby Portis, his second double-double of the season. Bobby Portis has... Tonight was the first of those really Bobby type of performances we've come to expect from him through the years. I didn't think Bobby Portis looked bad against the Rockets or against the 76ers. He wasn't really hunting shots. Kind of similar to the conversation we had about Giannis. He was just waiting for everything, letting the game come to him. And tonight you saw more of the microwave that Bobby Portis can be. Wesley Matthews continues to give you really good minutes. And if you go back to the game against the Sixers, we're all going to remember and continue to talk about what proved to be the game-winning shot that he hit. But Wesley Matthews getting on the floor after a loose ball, tipping one out there to Jrue Holiday as well. It's those little plays that Wesley Matthews continues to make. And Coach Budenholzer talked about that before the game as well, about, you know, these are the plays Wesley makes that we come to expect. He's a guy that does all the little things that help you win. Diving on the floor. We want that from our guys. Win the 50-50 plays. Be the guys that go on the floor. Wesley Matthews does that. He brings a physicality. He brings a toughness in a lot of areas. We just need to find ways to win a lot of those little battles within the game, and Wesley Matthews is good at doing that. George Hill, to me, is the other one. And George Hill's numbers did not jump off the stat sheet tonight. They probably never will for the duration of his career. But George Hill again tonight, 2 of 3 from the floor, scored 8 points. George Hill against the Rockets, played 24 minutes, 3 of 4 from the floor, scored 9 points. George Hill in the opener against the 76ers was 2 of 2 from the floor, scored 4 points. So he was up to 21 points through three games. Look, if George Hill can be a 6 to 8 point per game type of guy, and it was 2 of 2 there, was 3 of 4 against the Rockets, was productive again tonight, 2 of 3, he's hitting shots. We did not see that last year, and George Hill talked about that at Media Day. Everything that he was dealing with physically, how that impacted his shot, how that impacted his confidence, how he approached the offseason, pondering, is this it? Is it time for me to retire? He said at Media Day, he said again tonight when Dave Kane and I were talking to him after the game, I owe Milwaukee a better version of myself. I wasn't the player I expect to be a year ago. It made me think about retirement. It also made me realize that's not how I want to go out. And George Hill's production, that's all you need from him. 20 minutes tonight. That's all you need. Just get 15 to 20 productive minutes. It gives you the luxury once you're full strength, once Pat Connaughton is back, when Chris Middleton is back, when we're able to finally see Joe Ingles in a Bucks uniform. The surplus that you have of maybe this is a night you don't need George Hill, maybe it's a night you don't need Javon Carter. You can rest those guys, and you have a number of options to choose from. But to see what George Hill is doing, I know it's just three games, but his productivity to me, it's one of the bigger non-huge stories, if that makes any sense in explaining it. But it's exactly what you wanted to see for George, and it's exactly what this team missed at times last year. We made the joke, George Hill's the plus-minus god, that every time you looked up at the stat sheet, George Hill would be a plus 10. And George Hill was leading the league up until around the midpoint of the season in plus-minus. But you're starting to see more of that tonight. And you're starting to see the reason why, that everything we just said in that Bud quote about Wesley Matthews, George Hill does the same types of things. Jordan Wara, I thought, was pretty productive tonight as well. Took just one shot. He hit it, but he got 6 rebounds. He had an assist, scored just 3 points. And remember last year on Ring Night, it's Jordan Wara that was making plays without scoring the basketball. What we keep saying you have to do in this system and with this coaching staff, Jordan Wara was doing it. He blocked Kevin Durant on opening night. This was a very quiet but very effective three-point night from Jordan Wara. And the 20-point outburst from Bobby Portis. But this second unit, when you think about the bench and how much of an issue it was last year because of injuries, to enter this season and already have to deal with injuries and now outscore the opposition in terms of bench scoring, 38-20 tonight. You did the same thing against the 76ers, 29-13, 42-34 against the Houston Rockets. To know Javon Carter is likely moving to the bench, is definitely moving to the bench when this team is healthy. You don't have another key bench piece in Pat Connaughton. You're going to eventually have a key bench piece in Joe Ingles. You have to assume your bench is only going to get better. And right now, the bench and the non-Giannis minutes are a big reason why this team is 3-0. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk here in Milwaukee and WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee as well. Ricky from Honey Creek says, this team is really solid. Bench is awesome. And they'll be even better when at full strength, as we mentioned, with Chris Middleton, Joe Ingles, and Pat Connaughton. And that's what strikes you the most, is to watch this current iteration of the team and see everything really makes sense in terms of groupings. Obviously, you have, you know, those issues that pop up in terms of their half-court offense, but especially with the take-foul change, the Bucks' transition offense is going to be unstoppable. The entire second half felt like it was transition for the Bucks. Just get the ball to Giannis, get it in the open floor, and nobody can stop him. But once this team has everybody, and you see Chris Middleton in the mix and changing up some of those looks in the half court, you would assume there won't be as many empty possessions when you have Chris in the mix. Pat Connaughton and the rebounding that we mentioned, how dominant it was tonight, everything else that Pat adds, again, those 50-50 balls and those energy plays and getting on the floor, all things that are staples to Pat Connaughton's game. But Joe Ingles, and to see what Joe Ingles is going to bring to this team, the ability to be a ball handler, the ability to be a facilitator and set up his teammates, he is solid defensively, and Joe Ingles really excelled in the pick and roll and two-man game with the Utah Jazz. What do you think that's going to look like with Giannis? So for those reasons and more, it's easy to point to, man, when this team is full strength, I don't see right now any other team I would say is better than the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us here. Another dominant Giannis performance, another good performance from this second unit. But where did everything start to turn? We'll give you our turning point of the game after this.
3-point range, and here's an offensive foul against Durant trying to fight off Portis for the rebound. And there's a technical coming from Steve Nash, who's being held back.
He's getting run here.
Now, wise words as he eventually was ejected from the game. A double technical foul. I have never seen Steve Nash with that much emotion. Our vantage point here in the new location of our radio booth is we are actually on the other side of the court from where we have been previously. So we are looking at the back of both benches, and all I could see was Steve Nash immediately get up out of his seat, and you know when a coach is about to get a tee, like you can see the mannerisms, you can see the body language, you can see the hands going and everything else where you know, okay, a technical is coming. And I saw the rebound battle between Bobby Portis and Kevin Durant, and then you see that out of the corner of your eye and you think, oh, I think we got a T. Then you all of a sudden see Steve Nash physically being restrained. I think it was Jacques Vaughn holding him back, and his arms going in the direction of the official, where you knew, oh, this is going to be a double technical, and he is gone. It was 70-66 Nets at the point that Steve Nash got that double technical foul. And the Bucks were starting to really mount a comeback. I mean, they had gotten to within one a little bit earlier at 67-66, Joe Harris hits the three-pointer. By the way, the only three the Nets hit in the second half of this game. But Joe Harris hits that three-pointer, puts them back up four. But again, the Bucks were down a dozen at halftime, and they were slowly starting to climb that hill. You get to within one, it's right back out to four. But a lot of the work had been done at that point. To me, this was a Hail Mary. I'm going to see if I can spark something here with my team. And, oh, by the way, we have no answer for Giannis. Let's just keep throwing it out there that everything Giannis does is an offensive foul. And Steve Nash gets the double team and is eventually run. 70-66 was the score at that time. The Bucks would eventually win the game, 110-99, but they would close out the quarter in front, 78-76. So they would outscore the Nets 12-6 from the point Nash got that double T until the end of that third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, the Bucks would outscore the Nets as well, 32-23. 29 points allowed to the Brooklyn Nets from the moment that Steve Nash got that technical foul, that double technical foul. And the Bucks would outscore them 44-29. That was the turning point in the game, because it really seemed like the last act of a desperate man for Steve Nash, trying to invoke something from his team or see if he can get any type of energy from that group that just was not there on a night where Giannis dominates. So our turning point of the game, Steve Nash getting ejected. I believe that is the first career ejection for Steve Nash in his NBA career. 855-616-1620, the number to join us here on Bucks Talk as the Bucks improve to 3-0. We'll take a look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, because we have to mention what's going on in Philadelphia. We mentioned the two teams up next on this homestand are both 3-1. And then also, there's a team out west that has a chance to remain unbeaten. We'll check in on that before we wrap up here. But we will take a look at what's going on in Philly and the rest of the Eastern Conference, how this Bucks team looks with this 3-0 start despite missing some key pieces, and seeing what else is going on across the conference. We'll dive into that after this.
Ain't no way they can stop me now, daddy, cause I'm on my way. I can feel my ring coming. It's the blood of a champion.
/110.99 final here at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets to remain unbeaten now. 3-0 start to the season. Six blocked shots for Brook Lopez tonight. That's another thing to really get into. And we thought we were going to be able to talk to Brook Lopez afterwards. I did want to ask him about that. And just for you, it's very similar to what we said about George Hill. And look, everything George had to go through last year physically, the injuries, to get to the point where you're questioning retirement, and then to have, I know it's only three games, but to have this start has to make it even more rewarding of, okay, I feel like I'm healthy. I feel like I'm back to being the version that I was. And as he said, I owed Milwaukee a better version. For Brook Lopez, that wasn't the issue. It wasn't that his play on the court was hampered by the injuries. He was literally limited because of the injuries and missed 60 games a year ago. But what Brook Lopez has done this season, I mean, we talked about how good the bench has been. We talked about Bobby Portis tonight. Giannis has obviously been incredible. Brook Lopez has been the second best player on the floor for the Bucks in each of these three games. Six blocked shots tonight for Brook. Five blocks on Saturday against the Rockets. There's a couple of plays tonight where he not only blocked Nick Claxton early, you could see Ben Simmons and Nick Claxton on numerous occasions just, I'm not even going to try it. That's how much we don't want to test Brook Lopez. He is back to that version. And again, all the defensive issues this team had a season ago, the bench issues, all of it. Injuries were a big story. But none were bigger than the injury that Brook Lopez had, because it changes everything. When Giannis has to play the five, when Sandro Mamukelashvili has to come in and play more minutes than you would have hoped for, you don't have that anchor to say, look, we can live with the long twos, we can live with some of those threes because we know we're taking away absolutely everything around the basket. When Brooke's gone, that's not the case. And now you're seeing Brooke's back. Not only is Brooke back, this looks like the best version of Brooke Lopez we have seen in these four-plus years in Milwaukee. And this defense looks really, really good. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. I do want to touch a little bit more on the defense, especially the three-point shooting. But speaking of that defense and everything that we've seen tonight, let's head out to the phone lines. Check in with Mike in Shorewood. You're up. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, man? Just what impressive there. Brooklyn really brought their A-game in that first half there. Thinking Bucks are going to be in for a game there, just second half, just turned it up on automatic. Obviously, Giannis is always going to be the headline, but as you mentioned, Brooke is back to form. Just got to keep him upright, and hopefully he can stay healthy because he takes him up a notch, especially defensively with his size and length. And you see what the difference he makes, especially with Holiday, who's an elite defensive guard there. This team is just cooking, and they don't even have their two guns back yet. Once they get Connaughton and Middleton back, I mean, then, like I said, they're the best top-to-bottom team in not only the East, in the league, in my opinion. So that's the big factor. As far as the offense, they're just impressive. Giannis, he just loved playing the Nets and just really just dissecting those guys. And then you had Portis there off the bench really going. So just incredible what they can do, because the Nets, for some reason, everybody still believes in all the so-called experts in Vegas still believe in this team, and the Bucks just exposed them once again with that just beautiful basketball in that second half. And you saw Nash really lost it there, getting himself booted out of the game. So just impressive there on a national ESPN game to come out like they did in that second half. Just really just take it to Brooklyn and put that game away. These are the type of performances you want to see, especially from what a lot of people consider to be one of the contenders in the Nets, even though I don't really see them as a contender. Just great performance all around. And Bucks really rounded into form. And once, like I said, we get the other two guys back, I mean, this team is going to be rolling, clicking on all cylinders. So great game tonight and win. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. And if there's anybody that has not been converted yet and asks, well, why is Giannis the best player in the league? Show them the final 24 minutes of this game. You know, it was we are not losing this game. We're not going to lose this game, and no one's going to stop me. So if we're down 12, fine. I'll just go get 14 points in the next seven possessions. That's what he did in the second half. It's not just two either, Mike. It's the three guys. Getting Pat Connaughton and Chris Middleton back, but getting Joe Ingles. I mean, I really do think Joe Ingles is going to change a lot with this offense. He's solid defensively. He can hold up defensively. But you need more help in the half-court offense. And, you know, I know the Bucks, each of the last few playoff exits, they talked about defense. Went back to the bubble. You saw half-court offense being an issue. But it was our defense, if they play better, it's a different story. Against the Celtics this past summer, same conversation. Yeah, if our defense plays to the level we expect, it is a different story. Defense looks like it's playing to that level again. But you did need a little help in the half court. You needed to juice something a little bit. But Giannis can do this in the regular season. Giannis can do this in the playoffs. I'm not saying 44-point games or 43-point games are easy to come by. Giannis is going to have those performances. Look what he did against the Celtics in that series. He needs help in the half court. Right? I mean, these three games, think about how many open looks we've generated. The shots just have not fallen. And we seem to see that a lot in the postseason. You just need more shot makers. But more than that, you need shot creators and guys that can set up their teammates, guys that know what to do in the half court. Joe Ingles is that guy. And to have Chris Middleton, who I think is their best half court player, and I don't think it's particularly close, to have him rejoining the team and getting back in the mix. Feels like forever ago that we saw Chris Middleton on a basketball court. That's going to change things, but introducing Joe Ingles into that mix is going to change things as well. And to me, that's what I am most excited to see. I do have a question from Mark asking about the possibility of Connaughton and Middleton being back this season. They will be back this season. Pat Connaughton, we think, is going to be back in a little over a week. Chris Middleton, it sounds like right around the same time, maybe a little bit sooner for Chris to make his return to the floor. And Joe Ingles, I keep mentioning, there's no real timeline on Joe Ingles either. Maybe it's December. It's probably going to be sometime in January. He suffered that injury late last year, and it was an ACL tear. So, you know, if you're the Bucks and you continue to peel off wins like this, just like we talked about before with a guy like George Hill and Javon Carter, once you get to full strength, you can build in rest days and take your time. You can do the same thing with Joe Ingles. There is something to be said for developing that chemistry and playing with these guys and getting up to speed with them prior to the postseason, but you're playing for the postseason. You're playing for 16 wins, not for 70 in the regular season. Let Joe Ingles take his time and make sure he's 110% when you get to the playoffs. I'll check in on the scoreboard. The Philadelphia 76ers lost again tonight. So if you want to take a victory lap on that, feel free to do so. 855-616-1620. And the latest from Portland, will the Blazers join the Bucks as the only undefeated teams in the NBA? We'll do that as we wrap up the show after this.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Putting the finishing touches here on a win, on a Bucks Talk victory, 110-99. The Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets inside of Fiserv Forum. The New York Knicks come to town Friday night. Knicks won tonight. They're 3-1 on the season, and then you get to experience the first back-to-back of the year with the Atlanta Hawks in Milwaukee on Saturday night. Hawks also victorious tonight to get to 3-1. On this young season. The 6 blocked shots tonight from Brooke Lopez matches the most we've seen in the NBA this season. Anthony Davis blocked 6 just the other night when the Lakers lost to the Trailblazers. So his point production, or his prowess in the paint, has been unmatched to start this season. And Giannis, as I mentioned, joins Damian Lillard. It's the only players in the NBA to have multiple 40-point games this season. Dame with 41 and 41 on consecutive games. Giannis with 44 and 43 in consecutive games. Ja Morant, by the way, has the high offensive performance so far this season, scoring 49 points against the Houston Rockets, who seem to give up a lot of big offensive nights on this young season. Did mention the defense, and that's the other thing worth pointing out, is just how good this Bucks defense has looked once again. For all the struggles you've seen offensively for Jrue Holiday, it has not been the case on the defensive end of the floor. Jrue Holiday has still been that guy. Brooke Lopez has been a big, big difference maker on defense, around the paint, around the glass. You've seen his additions and what it's given this team. And then it allows Giannis to just roam and play center field more, be the guy that's cleaning a lot of things up. There was a play early in this game, I believe it was De'Ron Sharpe, that Giannis blocked. A weak side rejection, you could see it coming. It was just like the fin in the water to see Jaws lurking. You knew it was going to come if De'Ron Sharpe made that turn and approached the basket, and that's exactly what happened. So the defense, as much as we talked about the half-court offense and how that's going to look differently when you're full strength, defense is only going to look better as well with Chris Middleton and the big, big boost that Chris Middleton gives this team on the defensive side. Joe Ingles, I think, is going to help out defensively on the perimeter, and even Pat Connaughton, an underrated defender in his own right. A couple of scores that really, really stand out here on this night in Toronto. The Raptors beat the 76ers despite a 31-point game from Joel Embiid and 31 from Tyrese Maxey. It's early, but that team just does not look right. The Sixers are now 1-4 on the season, and it does not seem like a cohesive group. We saw that on the Bucks opening night last week in Philadelphia. It's a lot of my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. So what's going on in Philly is certainly something to keep an eye on. The other thing that we mentioned, the Bucks are 3-0. They're the lone remaining unbeaten team in the Eastern Conference. The Portland Trailblazers are 4-0. That's the only other unbeaten team in all of basketball. They're currently in action, hosting the Miami Heat. About midway through the fourth quarter, and the Heat lead it 99-81. So the Bucks are about 7 minutes away from being the last team standing in terms of the unbeatens. The last time that happened was the last time the Bucks got off to such a good start when they started 7-0 in the 2018-19 season. The Bucks beat the Raptors, who were also unbeaten, to be the last remaining undefeated team. We'll see if that streak continues. Friday night when the Bucks host the New York Knicks, 7 o'clock tip. 6:30 is when we invite you to join us on the Bucks Radio Network. And, of course, we will be back immediately after the game with more Bucks Talk. My thanks to Tommy Wirtz for producing the show. We'll talk to you Friday night with more Bucks Talk.